Okay. I got the laptop and no control. What'd I do with that control? Okay. All right. Ready to go. So last week we started this principles of church growth, and very important. And remember, these are an outline, and for the next few weeks we'll be looking at some of these outlines by Brother Mark Copeland, and very, very good stuff. And I particularly like this on the principles of church growth, because we need to be aware here at Brown Street of the need to continue to grow. Kind of reminds me of Philippians, where Paul talks about pressing toward the goal. And of course, we apply that to ourselves individually, as we should, but there's a sense in which that's true congregationally. As a congregation, we need to continue to press forward, not be content with where we are as a congregation. And it's easy to do when we just get caught up in the moment. And in the moment, you know, we things are going well for us in a lot of ways, and more ways than not, actually. And so we feel blessed. We are blessed. We have good men leading. We have good a lot of teachers and good elders and deacons and young people and those who are seasoned saints and all of that. All that's very positive. But in order to continue to be the kind of congregation God wants us to be, we have to grow. And not just numerically, even though that's a very important part of growth in a local congregation. As I said on last week, all congregations are going to lose members in those four ways that I suggested last week. But we're going to lose members. And so if we're not careful, we'll continue to dwindle down until, as he suggested, in fact, just getting caught up. You remember we talked about the Lord's desire for his church to grow, which is very important. He set forth a few reasons to prove that. But we need to be aware that Jesus wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to just hold our own. He doesn't want us to be stagnant. As he again talked about, he certainly doesn't want us to dwindle down to nothing. And that happens with a lot of congregations. That has happened over the years. I can remember receiving years ago a bulletin from, I believe it was the Walnut Street Church of Christ. It's a large congregation. Brother, I think Paul Keller was the guy's name, and he sent these bulletins out all over the country, and good articles, first principle articles that were really useful, particularly for young preachers, and things that, and you know, they had a congregation that had a great reputation. It was just thriving, one of the large congregations that we have among conservatives, and it was in this place called Paragu, Arkansas. I had no idea what that was. And all these years later, I've held many meetings in Paragu at a different congregation. That particular congregation hardly even exists. Like, it seemed like they may be down to 20 members or so. And it just, that's the story that repeats itself over and over and over again in this country with conservative churches of Christ. And so we need to, this idea of just having in our mind, you know, knowing where we are, being realistic with ourselves and honest with ourselves of where we are and wanting to grow and understanding the importance of it. And it begins with realizing the Lord wants us to thrive as a congregation and to grow. And so we need to look at these things. And last week we looked at the first part of it, things that enhance growth. And if you weren't here, very important points, I think, that he makes. When each member does his or her part, we all have a function, all have different talents, different abilities that we need to use. Whatever your ability is, your responsibility to find that out and then be willing to use it. Too many times we have abilities we're not even aware of because we never try. You have to try. Like, I know I'm not a song leader because I've tried it. And so, what can, you know, one of the things we always emphasize during our men's training classes that we're all family and we're all we're amongst people that love us. So anything you try, particularly, you know, if you're a brother and we're talking now about serving publicly, if you try and you're not very good at something, it's no big deal. People just appreciate you trying. And you never know. You might have a great talent in a particular area. You might be a great Bible class teacher and you don't even realize it until you try it a few times. You might be a great song leader or whatever it is. You might be outstanding in prayer, but you have to try. But the point of it is we all have ability. You have to figure out what yours is, what you can do best to help this congregation grow. And then you have to use it. And every member is important. Every member we have here at Brown Street is just as important as any other member. And so those are things that we need to realize. Get everyone involved and everyone needs to participate. When each member is drawing strength from the head directly through God's indwelling, we looked at some of those powerful passages there. And then also from one another, we certainly can strengthen one another. And so those are things and other things he'll talk about here in the second point he makes with things that can enhance us as a local congregation. But what about things that endanger church growth? We need to think about that too. And, you know, a lot of the things would just be sort of the opposite of the things that enhance us. And so he talks about when members do not do their part, the church is handicapped by non-functioning members. And that is what you do not want to be, a non-functioning member. And you know, just depending on where you are in life, you're going to have more opportunities or less opportunities to get involved. And we have several seasoned saints here that the time has passed where they did most of their work. You know, we often talk about you don't retire in the Lord, and that's true. But certainly, life just happens, and there comes a time you can't do as much. But for those who are, again, you have the ability, you have the strength, you need to be participating. You need to be involved in the work. And that begins even with caring about the work and what direction we're going. Do you even give that any thought of where we are as a congregation? And so we need functioning members. And if we don't, when every time we have those who are non-functioning, then again, as you see, the church cannot and does not reach its full potential. And you hear me say often that with regard to individuals, you know, we need to do what we can to reach our full potential. That should be our prayer. And when you stop and think about it, as I said in the beginning, we have all kind of potential here at Brown Street. But in order to tap into that, to reach it, we need as many functioning members as we can. But what endangers that is those who determine not to work. And it reminds, you know, that's always going to be the case. Like, no congregation ever really reaches its full potential. Why is that? Why do you think congregations don't ever reach their full potential? Huh? Yeah, because we're human. Right, that's true. But what else?
We also have some people
that
you just can't reach.
There you go. Within a local congregation, there are always going to be those who will not work, who will not participate. And that's always been the case. You know, you go back and think about the time that when Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall. Remember that when they had every tribe was placed in a particular spot and they had a responsibility. It wasn't just Nehemiah. That was a part of their success, getting every tribe involved. And it talked about the Tehoakites, I think, is who it was, something like that. But their nobles wouldn't work, is what I remember. And we're not told why. Maybe they thought they were too good. They were nobles. Maybe they just weren't interested. But that one tribe had a section, not even the whole tribe, but a section of that one tribe simply wouldn't work. And that's kind of an amazing thing to hear, you know. But that's again, that has repeated itself within local congregations. There's always those who just won't. You can preach about it. You can teach about it. You can encourage. You can motivate. Some people won't work. Therefore, a congregation will never reach its full potential. Because potentially, can you imagine if every single member we had did the most they could do, the best they could do, and again, we'd probably have to be something more than human. So we all fall short. So we're never going to really reach our full potential. But we can strive for that. We can do everything we can to be the best we can be. And then outside of our just weaknesses as human beings, we can be faithful and we can be active rather than dormant and dead. And that's what we should want. But it all begins with each one of us making up our mind individually. Am I going to be active, do what I can to help the local church grow? And so, again, the fact that some won't do that endangers the local church. When other members have to make up the difference, then that again endangers church growth. Where you have other members that have to do more because some won't do anything. And that just puts a strain on the situation. Those who are forced to make up the difference often struggle under the extra burden. And you know, I see that in local congregations all the time. That often is evident when it comes down to teaching. And especially teaching our young people. You know, we talk about and praise those who teach our young people. But it has been the case ever since I've been in the church and every congregation that I've been a member of, where people get into the teaching program, usually sisters in Christ, teaching the young people, and they get stuck there and can't ever get out. And why do you think that is? No volunteers. Volunteers. And, you know, that can become a burden instead of a blessing and a privilege, you know, when you're doing something. And some people want to do it, you know, they don't ever want to stop. And, you know, it's great. They just have that niche, that knack or whatever. But I've been in heard a lot of situations where sisters have said, you know, can you find someone to take my place for a while? Want a break? Want to be in the auditorium class or whatever? And just hard to get feelings. And so that puts a strain. And that's just one example of that. But whether you're talking about brethren serving or whatever it is, when people are overworked, then that extra burden sometimes can become a problem. They sometimes become disheartened. Some even give up. And that's not a picture of the church growing. When you have some members who are strong and but they're overworked because others won't do their part and they end up quitting, that's the church getting weaker, isn't it? And we don't want that. So we just need people to participate and to function. Then you remember he said there's two principles of church growth. So the second one is the strong must bear with the weak. And that, when it comes down to growing, this becomes pretty important. And so he has a lot to say about this, and I think some good things to say about it. The church growth is enhanced when strong members understand the weakness in others. As the church evangelizes, here's one example of that. There will always be babes in Christ. I can remember when I was at Thayer Street, we had the fellow by the name of Harold Comer. He used to be the church growth expert, I guess, and he'd go around the country and do these gospel meetings on church growth. And you know, he had it was interesting. It wasn't a normal gospel meeting, and he had a lot of things in there that were very, very helpful. And, you know, some other things, I don't know about that. But
But overall, it was all about church growth. And one of the things he did mention that I think was important was how when you evangelize, when you get busy evangelizing and you win, start winning souls to Christ, then, you know, sometimes you have members who are coming from the world, and what do they have? They have baggage because they've come from the world. And some of them come from very sinful lives that involve, you know, whatever. It could be drug addiction or alcoholism or whatever it might be that, you know, they're babes. So they need some growth, and from us they need some patience. And so that is what he's really getting at here when he talks about, again, with evangelism. And then it may not even be a moral thing. Like, if you're busy baptizing people and we start growing, this is one of those good problems to have, by the way. If you're growing, but you also are going to convert people from denominationalism, and they have baggage too, don't they? Doctrinal baggage. And you have to be patient with them. Like, how many times do you think we have brought individuals, we've taught people and baptized them, and they've been in the church for a while, and they come to me and they say, hey, pastor. Think that's ever happened before? Yeah, because they've grown up in a system where the preacher was the pastor. And so, you know, but you think I jump all over them when they do that? Think, okay, to my office. We got to talk. Of course not. I mean, they'll learn. And sometimes it's deeper than that, depending on who you're converting. Will you convert people from the charismatic folks? Man, they got a lot of things that they need to change in their mind. You know, not always, but sometimes. I think I've given the story before of the time when a fellow, some of you recognize him, but when Maurice Barnett was younger and preaching, they converted some folks and from the charismatic movement. So they were baptized in the Christ, but they still believed they could speak in tongues. And so, I mean, I won't go into the story of what I may have told you before, what he did in that situation. But the point is, they brought that. Oh, that they needed to be taught out of that. And so, you know, whatever the baggage is, the point is, that's what happens when you're active evangelizing and you're bringing new people in. It is not a cookie cutter kind of situation. They're not going to look and act just like you do, because they're babes in Christ. And so that's just the way that is. There will always be those who are weak in local churches. Like, do we have any weak members? Afraid to say yes, are you? We do. Every congregation does. And so that's just the way it goes. And so the point is, that's what happens when you're active and you're growing. Again, that's a good problem to have. This passage is kind of an interesting one in Proverbs 14:4, where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. You know, that's true, isn't it? Oxen, you know, back in ancient days, that they were the tractors, and they did the work, but they weren't easy to handle, and you had to. It took money to care for them, to feed them, and you had to clean up after them. And if you don't have any oxen, you never have to worry about that. But who's going to do the work? And so, yeah, there's some problems, he says, but an abundance of crops comes by the strength of the ox. You recognize how valuable they are, how appreciative you should be to have them. Even though you could sit back and say, oh, yeah, but if we didn't, you know what? I'd never have to clean up that mess. And we could start thinking the same way. You know, we wouldn't have this problem if we weren't converting people. But that's not the way we should feel, is it? And you know, the elderships have to deal a lot of times with difficulties with that arise with new members, weak members. But what's the alternative? I mean, you want to say, well, we shouldn't have them. Of course we want them. So, yeah, Autumn. Right. You got to know how to handle babes in Christ. It is that's a real issue for us to deal. Remember, I've said to you several times that the fact of the matter is we lose more members than we keep. And it's not even close. And that's all local congregations. You think about any local congregation you've ever been a member of. And I'll bet you if you thought about it, you'd realize, you know, of all the people we baptized my time at that congregation, We lost more than are still here. That's always been the case. And so we need to, and some of that is our failure, but not all of it, you know, but some of it is because we're not handling those that are baptized well enough. We could certainly, I'll start with myself. I could do better and we could all do better with that, but we lose more than we maintain. And so that's, you know, just again, something to put in our minds and areas where we can improve. Many new members haven't had the benefit of good role models. And he gives some examples. Some families may not know their duties as parents, spouses, children. It will take time for many Christians to learn principles of godly living. Like these things don't happen overnight. And so it indeed can be, growth can be messy at times. And so we need to understand the week that we have. And then number two, when strong members remember their duty towards the weak, to bear with the infirmities of the weak. We all know Romans chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. Someone go over there and read that passage. Romans 15, 1 and 2. All right, very good. And of course, this is a follow-up to Romans 14. And you know, with all the mess of Romans 14, we just take that as it is. It's not that difficult of a passage. Paul's not dealing with doctrinal issues there, but with matters of judgment, and he's bringing up situations where some people are weak in a particular area. And he emphasizes there, you have to be careful with the weak. You don't want to make weak members stumble because you think they ought to be as strong as you. And it's not the case. So we have to be careful. Bear the infirmities of the weak. And that's important. Another important, very important passage. And someone read this, Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. All right, very good. So again, that our duty, I mean, like, this isn't, you can't pat yourself on the back when you do these things. This is a duty that Paul is setting forth. You, those who are spiritual, those who are strong, need to help the weak. And sometimes individuals fall. And by the way, in that particular passage, it is not a description of someone who is just absolutely rebelling against the Lord. And it wouldn't make a huge difference, but it does. I mean, if you just want to know what the passage is dealing with, someone who is overtaken by a fault. That is describing someone who has put up a fight, but they just let their guard down or whatever. And, you know, you can let your guard down just for a moment and the devil can attack. And sometimes that happens. And those of us who are stronger need to step in and try to restore them. And, of course, the idea of restoring is putting a joint back in place. We've talked about that before with this passage. What do you do when something pops out a joint on your body? What, a week later? No, as quickly as you can. As quickly as you can. And that's what, you know, when we have a member that has gone astray, we need to do a better job at doing what we can to reach them. And, you know, that's a difficult situation. A lot of times when people fall away, they don't want to be contacted. And sometimes, you know, modern days, your number comes, they're not answering the phone and, that, you know, whatever. But we have to try, do our part, whatever we can to restore. And that's love. That's the burden that we have to bear with one another. And so, yeah, Paul. Right. Absolutely. And it doesn't have to be. Yeah. And we all do. And again, you're right. Just all the members have a responsibility in this. And sometimes members who aren't elders can have a bigger impact. Sometimes when people fall away, guess who they're mad at? They don't want to hear from the elders, sometimes the preacher. They might listen to you. And so, you know, but it's a family situation. It's a team effort. We all have to try to be involved with that. Did I see a hand? Yeah, Sam.
But God expects us to get involved. We just can't stand back and do nothing.
Right.
We have to get involved. And we're going to have to strengthen
ourselves
along with all of
them. Right. Yeah, and like, I mean.
Right.
This passage in Galatians 6, Paul isn't just setting forth a suggestion for us. It is a command he is setting forth. And so very important. Again, just strong members. And if you're in that category, you view yourself as being a strong member, then he's talking to you. And so we have a duty towards the weak. And then he says to be patient with the weak. Turn over to this passage. It's a good passage. 1 Thessalonians 5. And I'm just going to go ahead and go forward with some of this. And now, let me just say this. One thing about looking at someone else's material is you don't always know. You can help me. Sometimes I'm not quite sure what he means by things. And that's just the way it is. You can't get into someone's mind. And so, anyway, that's just the nature of looking at someone else's outline. But he says, to be patient with the weak, we must accommodate the weak in order to grow. Growth comes out of weakness. I'm not quite sure what he's dealing with there. The passage that comes to my mind is Paul in 2 Corinthians 7 when he talks about being, when he's weak, he's strong. And, you know, that was the situation with the thorns and the flesh. But that is not the same thing that he's talking about here. That's kind of a different situation. Nothing jumps out at me when he says that. Maybe it does you. Growth comes out of weakness. Many churches fail to grow because the strong expect too much from the weak. But let's look at this passage in First Thessalonians chapter 5 and at verse 14 is what he said. But let's back up to about verse 12. Verse 12 says, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you." All right. So that, of course, would be the elders, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Then he says, "Be at peace among yourselves." And he says, "We urge you, brethren." Now, the first thing he says is admonish. And that's important. That means to put in mind or to caution or to reprove, and usually carries with it the idea of a gentle reproving. But the point of it is, listen, when we talk about the idea of bearing with the weak and all that, we're not talking about ignoring sin or anything like that. Let's be clear about that. Like, people need to be admonished. The weak need to be admonished. The strong sometimes need to be admonished. And we all, that's what we are, brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember, the Hebrew writer said, provoke one another to love and good work. We need to caution. We need to reprove each other because we all want to go to heaven. We want everyone else to go to heaven. So we need to help each other. And so, yeah, all right. Been distracted. Anyway, I shouldn't have done that. She's gonna be mad at me. But look at the bell's gonna ring, I'm sure. But look at that. So you admonish who? The idle and the unruly, disorderly, undisciplined. That's why some people are not what they ought to be, because they're undisciplined. And so you got to admonish those who are undisciplined in a local church. Don't just ignore that. But then he says, encourage the faint-hearted. And that has a broad idea to it. That word faint-hearted can mean different things. I think some translations, or at least some commentaries, refer to that as being feeble-minded. And you know, that can be others cowardly. But also, it could just be life happening to somebody, and they're just down because of, you know, whatever it is that's going on in their life has really gotten them down and distraught, and they need encouraging. Who's better to do that than us? Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you have to just, you have mercy on them, okay, let's work through this. But then there's
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Right. And this verse is kind of the same thing. You know, you admonish those who are undisciplined, those who are idle or disorder, who walk disorderly. But you encourage the faint-hearted and help the weak. So you see the point. People are at different stages, and you don't treat them all the same. You don't approach them all the same. But a lot of this comes by knowing each other. And that's a part of church growth, of being a family, being close enough to where we can recognize, if possible, not always possible. Sometimes people are very secretive and keep everything in and whatever. But to the best of our ability, there's different kind of members. We have weak members. Do we have any faint-hearted here? Probably. And, you know, when we've had people lose loved ones, and you know at that particular time, you know, there's some sorrow and whatnot. They need some encouraging. We know you don't have to be a rocket scientist. We know that. And we have some undisciplined members right now at Brown Street. What are we doing about that? Church growth demands that we admonish them. And as had been brought out, doesn't have to be the elders. They have a direct responsibility, but it can't just be limited to them. You may have a closer relationship with that person that you can help more than anyone else. And so it's all about doing what we can to understanding the weak among us and do what we can to help. So we'll wrap this up next week and get into a totally different topic, whatever it is I decide.